Coming up on podcast 1296, Norway's EV sales edge slowly towards 100%. Stick around, then I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, the Dacia Spring doing well in France, Audi doing well with the Q4 e-tron, and Lucid gets a controversy around their battery. Well, those stories and many more coming up on the podcast today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Thursday, 2nd of December, with Martin Lee here, going through every EV story that I could find every day to write this script, but couldn't actually record it myself because, well, yes, if you heard yesterday's show, I've been, what's the phrase? Oh, yeah, sick as a dog. Lost my voice. I like COVID symptoms, like shortness of breath, bad cough. Our baby's like 40 degrees for 2 days now, so the docs are going to give him some medication. I'm waiting on a third PCR test with COVID because I just don't believe that it's, well, hey, maybe it is just something, but scarily similar symptoms is the word I'm looking for. Sorry, brain fog, and massive brain fog for the last week. It's been an absolute pain in my backside. But right, let's continue and give you the headline news today. In Norway, 11,274 new electric cars were registered last month in November. Electric cars reached a share of 73.8%. Now, we're looking at the passenger car market here in the month, so that's not the 100% I was talking about. 70, hey, we'll call it 75% for pure electric cars. But yeah, that is electric cars. Now, if you look at cars with a plug socket on, so add plug-in hybrids into that, that's another 2,500 plus. The Model Y, by the way, was the most popular model, in case you're wondering. Over 1,000 Model Ys sold in Norway last month, and it wasn't even the end of the quarter. You know how Tesla have to stick everything on a chip, and whether it's from Fremont or China, Europe has this kind of crazy last month of the quarter rush where they'll be number one. Sometimes, like in Germany, the number one car sold, not the number one EV, the number one car. Well, for Norway to be, you know, Tesla Model Y number one in November, that's really, really impressive. Anyway, back to the main story. More than 11,000 new registrations in November bring the figure for the current year close to 100,000 now for the year from January to November. 99,948. You know, we're all friends. We'll call it 100,000 EVs in Norway so far. Pure EVs, by the way. This corresponds to a market share of 64% for the entire year. But let's have a look at cars with plug sockets on. The total is now 91.2%. So next time somebody tells you that, well, EVs are fine, but not everyone can drive an EV. And look at Norway. 91% of new cars have a plug socket on, an external charging connection, if you like. Same as a record month, which was September. And that had the Tesla boost, by the way, end of quarter. In October, the figure fell down near a 90%. And by comparison, petrol-only cars had a market share of 2.3%. Looking at the data, petrol 2.3, diesel 2.7, plug-ins 91.2. I can't work out where the missing percentage is. It's not hydrogen, but either way, yes, the eagle-eyed, math-brained listeners would know that's not 100% between those three. I don't know. Can't explain it. Right, let's talk about the Dacia Spring taking pole position in France and a record plug-in share there. Because you're right, everywhere isn't Norway, as EV haters will say. Everywhere isn't Norway. Norway is very difficult, very affluent country, of course, built on fossil fuels, and some very incentives there that make combustion cars much more expensive to buy. Okay, you're right. Let's go to the big auto markets like Europe's number one, Germany, the second biggest market, UK, and France. Let's talk about France. Last month in November, France saw a record plug-in EV share, 23.5% in the month. Now, that's up from 15 a year ago. 23. Look, again, hey, let's call it a quarter. A quarter of all new cars sold had a plug socket on in France, right? Anyone that has been looking at cars for 5 minutes knows that's the land of diesel. Wow. Legacy diesels and plugless hybrids are stagnating there, according to Cleantechnica, who write that Europe's most affordable all-electric, the Dacia Spring, took the number one spot for plug-ins in November. Almost 3,000 sales for the Dacia Spring. They've been saving them up, I think, in France. Had an extremely rapid climb to Europe's fourth most popular BEV in October, top seller in France in November, 3,000 units delivered, and it puts it well ahead of a long-term favourite, Renault Zoe, with 2,200 units, of course, both from Renault. And the Dacia Spring's success makes a lot of sense. Very affordable, €12,000 it starts at in France after incentives. €12,000, and it's a proper car, and it actually does properly seat four proper people. November, and I'm sure it seats some improper ones, by the way. November is the first month it's been available in volumes, though. Well, the Spring's success, says Cleantechnica, speaks volumes about European customers' unmet demand for affordable BEVs. The revolution waiting in the wings for anyone wanting an affordable car, sub 20k, even sub 15k. The Spring is the first to do so, and it won't be the last. What's coming around the corner? Well, there's the BYD Yuan, BYD Dolphin, their big cars in China, coming to Europe, less than 20 grand. November's combined plug-in result of 25%, 23.5, but either way, was about 15% full battery electrics and about 10% plug-in hybrids. I'll pop a link to Cleantechnica in the show notes so you can read more. Audi are doing really well with their Q4 e-tron, so much so they're going to have to find a new place to build even more of them. They're looking at Brussels. Audi plans to build their recently launched Q4 e-tron in Brussels. Production is scheduled to start there soon. The publication Automobile Roche learned, according to some corporate circles, the reason is the high demand for the volume model. The final decision is going to be made by VW on the 9th of December if they will go ahead and use the extra plant they have in Brussels to make the Audi Q4 e-tron. Up until now, it's being built exclusively with the other MEB cars like ID3, ID4, etc. Seat Born in Zwickau. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes so you can read more. Now we'll talk about Mercedes-Benz launching a 7-seater electric EQB. In Europe, Mercedes-Benz launching their all-electric 7-seater EQB, starting price north of €55,000. Mercedes premiering it back in September when I talked about it with you, and that was when it was at the Munich Motor Show. All-electric, family car, 5 seats as standard, 7 seats as option, starting price €55,300, which, as this is an Australian article that I'm reading this from, and I researched this from, is about $87,000. And the EQB has two flavours, like many of the Mercedes-Benz, the EQB 300 4MATIC and the EQB 350 4MATIC, both of which are all-wheel drive. The range of both of those just north of 400 kilometres as well. So I like the EQC, by the way. I still like the EQC as a car. I know people would like it to be more efficient and more longer range. But look, real luxury as well, real premium. And I imagine the EQB going to be the same. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon. Stick around because we're going to dig into a Lucid controversy and why some everyday cars like the Corsa and the Mokka are getting a longer range. Stick around. That's on the way. Okay, let's talk about a controversy around Lucid and their new Air. Is it really a controversy? Because certain knuckle-draggers on the internet can't do basic calculations about how to charge an EV. So, sadly, an expert like Inside EV's senior editor Tom Malogny and one of my friends from the Inside EV's podcast sadly got dragged down to their level having to explain it, hence the controversy. Now, Lucid called Tom a couple of weeks ago and said, would you like the honour of being the first person in the world to do a full 0 to 100% fast charging test session on the Lucid Air Dream EV? And of course, he jumped at the chance. Now, Tom has a YouTube channel called State of Charge. Now, viewers and those listeners and viewers of certain Tesla YouTube channels, of course, it's always the Tesla, like the, I don't know, the bottom 0.5% of the internet who would, I don't know, they'd kind of idolise Elon Musk and hate anybody that's a possible competition. They kind of went to town on this video because Lucid have been saying that, you know, we're getting 500 miles plus out of 118 kilowatt hour battery. Well, Tom plugged it into Electrify America, 0 to 100, put in 134 kilowatt hours of energy. And the internet went crazy. Like I say, the Tesla nutters said, oh, Lucid have been lying. There was this huge thing. And goodness me, it's hard to start sometimes, nowhere to start sometimes. But let's start with somebody who wrote for Inside EVs, an electrical engineer wrote and said, thermal modelling the heat losses that are incurred in extreme fast charging sessions is based on the law. That would be Ohm's law and the second law of thermodynamics. The second law says there are always losses in an energy transfer process. And in an EV battery charging session, those losses are determined by Ohm's law. Heat generated in a circuit, so when you plug the car into the charger, we know things get hot. The current, which is I in amps, squared times the circuit's resistance, which is R in ohms. So the heat generated is I squared R. Suffice to say that for the first 5 minutes of charging, the Lucid was at 300 kilowatts and 350 amps. So at that amount of power, the battery pack resistance itself is generating 20 kilowatts of heat. The pack weighs over 550 kilograms, and yet that 20 kilowatts of heat is so intense, it will have heated up every cell in the mass from 31 degrees C to their maximum of 45 degrees C in the first just few minutes of plugging in the Lucid Air to a 350 kilowatt charger. So then the AC compressor needs to kick in, the glycol pumps, the radiator fans, all screaming at peak load. They themselves draw another 5 kilowatt hours of power over the charging session, rapidly adding 118 kilowatts, kilowatt hours to the pack, and actually only having 16 kilowatt hours of losses, this writer says, is not only an engineering miracle, but it's clearly not a false marketing conspiracy, and Lucid aren't hiding anything. With a 118 kilowatt hour pack, if you are going 0 to 100, you may well put in 134 kilowatt hours, as Tom did, because he's on a DC fast charger. He's charging at 300 kilowatt charge speed, which is insane. We haven't really talked about that, but it doesn't mean that there should be any kind of controversy around, oh, are Lucid lying about their battery size? Absolutely not. I've avoided talking about it so far because, well, if you talk about every stupid thing that people say on the internet, well, this podcast would just be never ending. I'll pop a link to Inside EVs on the show notes if you'd like to read more about that scenario. Next, we'll talk about the range of the Corsa and the Mokka getting longer on a single charge of the battery. The Opel slash Vauxhall Corsa E was introduced in 2019, 359 kilometres on WLTP, an increase of around 7%. The Mokka going on sale a year later in 2020, increasing its range to 338. So there you go. Corsa E, now 359, Mokka E, 338. That's kilometres, obviously, on the WLTP cycle. These range increases have been achieved with the optimization of the heating and air conditioning systems, the propulsion systems as well, the efficiency of the heat pump that's in there, which warms and cools the interior, and is standard equipment on both models. It's now even higher efficiency than before. Heat pumps are more efficient than conventional HVAC systems. They require less energy from the battery, so you're not using a PTC heater to instantly just get really hot and pump out hot air. But it's also to the benefit of driving range as well. Customers will notice the improvements when driving in winter months particularly, and goodness me, some EVs really, really suffer in winter months, so the more range, the better. Now, let's talk about the BMW i7. Yes, this is a big sedan, 7 Series. BMW must have missed the world premiere of the Mercedes-Benz EQS, which is itself an incredible luxury car, because BMW just came out and said that their i7 will be the world's first electric luxury sedan. Yeah, that's exactly what an EQS is from Mercedes-Benz. Weird thing to say, BMW. Anyway, these excellent images were shot in Sweden. BMW have supplied them, so they're not spy shots because the manufacturer have given them to the media. BMW have been winter testing in Sweden to put the finishing touches to the drive systems and the control systems of the 7 Series electric version. The world premiere will take place next year when we'll be seeing it, called the i7. But for now, we're looking at camouflaged pictures. Not the final headlights, not the final tail lights, but otherwise a very stylish, luxury BMW here. Electric 7 Series, if you like, using the fifth generation eDrive technology. That's what's going inside the BMW iX. Well, is inside the BMW iX. It makes sense for cars like this, you know, going to cruise at motorway speeds, really quiet, very luxurious, loads of power in all conditions, hence why they're testing in Sweden. Let's talk about XPeng selling half of its cars overseas as part of their plan. I keep telling you, the Chinese cars are coming. Well, some would say they're here. I mean, MG, SAIC, I mean, Aura Cat. But either way, I'm telling you, Chinese cars are coming. Chinese electric car startup XPeng wants to be a global automaker, and half their deliveries going outside of China, they said yesterday. XPeng would invest more in international markets this year and next, and expects to enter Sweden and Denmark and the Netherlands in 2022. Well, XPeng began shipping cars to Norway about a year ago, December 2020, I think it was, and other Chinese makers have focused their initial overseas expansion on the country as well. You would do Norway, where there's infrastructure and people are buying EVs, government incentives, etc. The company, according to CNBC.com, launching their first commercially available vehicle, the G3, that's their SUV, only 3 years ago. But since then, the sedan, the P7, only been out since summer, is far, far more popular and is 77% of their deliveries right now. Go and have a look at the P7 if you're interested. That is covered in autonomous sensors and really nice car. Now, whatever car you like, what is your favourite EV? Whatever EV you want to buy that you own that's on your wish list is going to be made from steel. And the steel industry can't get away from the fact that it's really polluting, which is why they want to look at hydrogen power. This is where hydrogen could work, you see. It won't work in cars that you and I drive around. I don't want to go to the hydrogen filling station. I'm getting away from that with petrol and diesel, but using hydrogen to actually make the material that makes the cars, that makes sense. Steel production could be made with no carbon emissions by investing in hydrogen power. Both hydrogen for production of new steel and recycling of old steel will play a central role in reducing emissions from steel production. Steel itself is responsible for 7% of man-made greenhouse gases every year. It's one of the world's most polluting industries. We never talk about the steel industry, do we? We talk about cars and batteries and regen, and we don't say, actually, we need to clear up the industry that makes what the cars are made of. By 2050, green hydrogen, as long as we make it with renewables, could be the cheapest way to make steel without emissions. Another part of what they need to do is use more recycling. Now, there's an established market in steel recycling, but more can be done, because then you can use that power. Today, if you think about where the steel comes from to make our EVs, to make any car, 70% of steel is made from ore in a coal-fired blast furnace, and only 25% comes from scrap, really, I think. I did a session on this at the MOVE event a couple of weeks ago, more than that, actually. I've barely had a chance to talk about that because I did that and I went on holiday and now I've been ill. But yeah, it's an amazing event that I did. I'll tell you more about it at some point. But I did a big thing on steel and how we need to get the emissions out of that. Talking hydrogen, BP, not only investing in EV charging, but also in hydrogen plants. And now a new one's going to be built in the northeast of England, with 500 megawatts of hydrogen being produced by 2030 every year. It's on Teesside, operations begin in 2025 on that. And again, we will need hydrogen for something, just not our cars. The new project adds to 3 gigawatts of offshore wind and the 16,000 charge points they own here as part of their UK portfolio. And final story today. Nothing to laugh about, really, for this teenager that had their driving test failed thanks to an EV. But there's a happy ending. A Bay Area teen failed their driving test because of a Tesla's regen braking system. The driving inspector, the examiner, flunked a teen driving their own Tesla because of regen braking. The California Department of Motor Vehicles instructed their staff to treat EVs in the same manner as conventional gas-powered vehicles when doing the driving test. Now, Bryce is a 16-year-old, did his test alongside the DMV instructor. He was driving a Model 3 with regen, of course, in standard mode. He said, "Right off the bat, she warns me that the car was slowing down all on its own, like at a stop sign," he explained. "She told me that it happened twice before we even left the parking lot, and then we continued on the test. We did everything that a test is supposed to have in it, but then she pulled me in and said I'd failed. And so I asked her what I could do next time to pass the test, and she told me not to take a Tesla and just to borrow someone else's car, bringing someone else's car that has a motor instead of an actual electric car," the driving examiner said. Well, this teen's dad got involved and appealed to the boss and the boss's boss, and it Turns out that the driving examiner wasn't exactly au fait with what regen braking is. You see, she was expecting the car to slow down when the teenager put their foot on the braking pedal, and that's part of the test. Can you slow a vehicle down by putting your foot on a brake pedal, modulating it, slowing a vehicle? When she saw that the teen wasn't transferring their foot to the braking pedal, but the car was slowing down, she couldn't mark them on that, and therefore had to fail him on that part of the test. It's incredible, really, that this is in California. This is where EVs are everywhere. This is someone who's teaching someone else to drive. You should have a basic understanding of what regen is. You're not in the back of beyond where there's no EVs. Right? Hey, work to be done everywhere. And that indeed includes the driving test. Happy to say this teen is now behind the wheel of their car, having been passed after the event, because they did the rest of their driving test perfectly and just failed on the fact that the car slowed down, but they never touched the brake. Magic that, isn't it? Right, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. Which EV makers are on Santa's nice list? And in your opinion, which EV makers are on Santa's naughty list? Email me your reasons. Why, as well. We'll read them out on Sunday next week, because I'm recording after the event, because you know why. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Really appreciate your patience, by the way. I know I've mentioned it before, but thank you for your patience as I've been getting over this little illness. Thank you to our premium partners on Patreon: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, National Car, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rscv.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.